That first reading began from the prophet Amos. Thus says the Lord God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion. Pretty harsh words. Team that up, couple that with the gospel we heard about this reality of hell. The scriptures today give us a lot to reflect upon as we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and prepare to enter into the sacrifice of Calvary. Earlier this week, the office staff had a morning of reflection. And we had a priest come in to give us some meditations and a conference, just try to build some team unity within our office staff. And one of his presentations was on the signs of a healthy and vibrant parish. And one of the points he gave us was, when the gospel is preached in the classroom, in faith formation, at RCIA, at Bible study, but really from the pulpit, when the gospel is preached, is it preached in its fullness? Or do we seek, like St. Paul says, to tickle the ears, to make people feel good and comfortable, so they can have a good word to take the rest of their week and feel good about life? Or is the fullness of the gospel preached? Do we allow ourselves, our consciousness, to be pricked by the hard sayings of Jesus? And the reality, as we heard today, of the final judgment, that the day will come when we will die and heaven or hell is waiting for us. Not something we always want to hear about, definitely not something we always want to preach about. But are we open to hearing this truth? Do we believe this truth? That because of our action, or today's gospel, our inaction, hell is a real possibility. Because what did the rich man do to deserve hell? It doesn't say he was an unjust man. It doesn't say that he was a liar or a thief or corrupt. He was a rich man who lived a comfortable life behind a gate and didn't see the people in need around him. We'll begin Mass with the Confiteor. We say, for what I have done and what I haven't done, what we call the sins of omission. Usually we're pretty good at examining ourselves for the sins of commission, the things that we do, the thoughts, the words, the deeds that are breaking the commandments that are contrary to God's will. But do we really ever take the time to examine our consciences for the things that we should do but that we don't do, the omission sins? Because that's what got this man to hell. That he didn't serve the poor. He didn't look at this man as worthy of his love and his time. It's a good point of reflection for us. And it couples well with Amos's prophecy. Amos was a prophet in the 700s before Christ. Just a brief history, you know, King David unified all the tribes. So there was one big tribe, all the chosen people, the 12 tribes are under one. David dies, Solomon takes over, and after Solomon dies, the kingdom is split once again. Amos is from the south, he's prophesying to the north. And he's telling them, be faithful or you're going to lose everything. That's what he's talking today. Woe to you, the complacent in Zion. You lay on the couches of ivory. You drink wine from bowls. You eat the lamb and the calves from the flock and the stocks. But your heart is not moved at the plight of Joseph. Joseph is the kingdom to the north that's about to lose everything. And these leaders, those who should know better, are comfortable. They're complacent and don't seem to care that part of their chosen are about to be taken into captivity. A priest friend of mine, he says, it was reflecting on this gospel, I think, but really just, he's from Europe, from Spain, just on American culture, he was saying, the softness of materialism leaves the human person incapable of sacrificial love. And it's sacrificial love that will get us to heaven. By us responding to the cross, God's invitation to love, when we respond in that same manner, that's how we go to heaven. I mean, we can talk about it in many different ways, but have I chosen to die to myself for the sake of others, as Christ did for me, and to live in that truth? But this priest says that the softness of our lives, how comfortable we are, how immediate things are, we're not able. We've trained ourselves to not be able to give ourselves in that way. And that's what happened to the rich man in the gospel. And that was going on in the first reading with Amos's prophecy. How true is that for us? Are we able to see the needs of the people around us? I mean, we can read the gospel in one sense, in a real sense, about the economic disparity, about the haves and the have-nots. That's a reality. Because if you read Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, what you do for the least, you do for Jesus. So that's a reality. So do we seek to serve the material needs of the poor in our community? Because this man, Lazarus, he wasn't across the world. He didn't write a check for the missionary appeal for someone over there to go serve people over there. This poor man was at the gate, and he refused to serve him. The people in your lives that need your help, how willing are you to die to yourself, to be uncomfortable, to serve the needs of the poor? This is a clear, I mean, there's no way to get around that. But it's even deeper than that. Because what does Jesus say elsewhere? What does it matter if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? So it's not just about material prosperity. Because remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. These men who said, he told last week, were lovers of money. And when he walked away, they laughed at him because he was trying to call them to holiness, call them to greatness. And the merciful preaching, the harsh words he had towards them was in mercy so that they would repent and live the life that Christ has called them to. So he's talking to these leaders of the local church. You lovers of money. Men are dying around you and you don't care. You've been given so much wealth and you don't share. But the true wealth that they were given was the knowledge of the saving mysteries of the gospel. And that's what Jesus said. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, nothing else matters. Sometimes we have an idea that if we saw this magnanimous, magnificent miracle, then I'd give my life. Jesus says that's not true. You might have some excitement, but it won't convert your heart. How has God been revealing himself to us, the chosen people, from the beginning? If you don't believe that, then a fantastic miracle won't change your life. These men, these Pharisees, knew the secrets. They knew the keys to life, and they refused to share them with those who are dying a spiritual death. You know, when Mother Teresa visited America, that's what she said. The poverty here is greater than anything she saw in India because our souls are dying here. We have everything and we have nothing. If you've been baptized, if you've been confirmed, if you received the Eucharist faithfully, you have the fullness of truth. And with the catechism and the scriptures, there's nothing you can't know. And so are you willing and do you share that with the people in your life who are at your door dying for want of the saving truth of Jesus Christ? People need to hear the message that God created everything, and because of the fall, sin entered the world. But God's saving plan says one day the Redeemer is coming. And the Redeemer has come in Jesus Christ. And he left us the church with the sacraments so that all of us, no matter what, can know Jesus, can love Jesus, and live with him forever in heaven. We don't have to be a slave to our sin. Are we willing to share this message with the people at our work, the people in our family, the people who've walked away from the truth? This is the spiritual blindness that the gospel is trying to pull us out of. And that's what St. Paul was talking to Timothy about in that first reading. We've been reading the last couple of weeks in a daily mass. We had a lot of readings from Timothy. You know, so Timothy was, we can call him a priest. So we can imagine St. Paul was a bishop and Timothy was his priest. Timothy laid hands. Paul laid hands on Timothy, ordained him, and set him on to lead the church in Ephesus. And he wrote this letter to encourage him, to teach him how to be a good priest, a good leader of the flock. And what he says today, the reading says, "But you, men of God, pursue righteousness." But the reading skipped a couple of words. Because what Paul fully wrote was, "But you, men of God, avoid all this. Instead, pursue righteousness." And the this he was instructing Timothy to avoid is the this that we all need to be weary of and avoid in our own life. He says, "For we brought nothing into the world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it. Those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction." The gospel. "For the love of money is the root of all evils. And some people, in their desire for it, have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains." This desire for comfort, for material gain, for material things, to live a life of comfort and ease, to have the world at my fingertips. Pursuing that, we've lost everything. St. Paul is encouraging Timothy not to fall into that trap. He's encouraging each one of you the same way. He gave him the secret. He gave him the ticket. Four things. Pursue virtue. Do you know the virtues? Are you pursuing them actively in your life every day? Are you competing for the faith? He uses that sports image, like the Olympics, the runners. Are you competing to win the race of your faith? Or are you complacently going by what the world says is good? Are you laying hold of eternal life? Are you clinging for eternal life? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to have it? And it doesn't start when you die. It starts when you begin to live a life of virtue, a life of grace. Then he said, keep the commandment. Are you obedient to Holy Mother Church? Do you do what Mother Church asks us to do? Do you go to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day? Do you get there before Mass begins and you stay until after it ends? Or do you come and go as you wish? Do you receive the Eucharist worthily? Do you go to confession? Do you observe the days of fasting and penance? Do you support the church with your time, talent, and treasure? These minimum standards that it takes to be a Catholic. Are we serious about this? Are we complacent in doing our own version? Are we willing to die to my desires and my ideas and submit to what Mother Church has given us? This is the secret that St. Paul was giving to Timothy. He said, he finishes this letter, "Tell the rich in the present age not to be proud and not to rely on a so uncertain thing as wealth, an uncertain thing such as wealth, but rather rely on God, who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus accumulating as treasure a good foundation for the future, so as to win the life." This is true life. And that's what this is all about. Will we obtain eternal life? Will we allow our hearts to be opened, our consciousness to be pricked, so we don't fall into complacency? We don't fall into the comforts of material wealth. But regardless of what we have and what we don't have, are we willing to die to ourselves so that Christ can live within us? So that those people who are closest to you, who are needing to hear this message, can themselves obtain eternal life? This is the invitation, the challenge for each one of us every day. The world is in desperate need for the saving message of Jesus Christ. Ask for the grace to pursue virtue, to lay hold of eternal life, and to keep the commandments.